Welcome to Tomfoolery Holiday Spectacular.
Holiday Spectacular.
I wish I had brought jingle bells of some kind. I've just now realized it. That'd have been awesome. We'd have a ching, 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 ching.
Let's make up a jingle for our Holiday Spectacular.
We're making up a jingle.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I know we haven't introduced our guests yet, but we have four people in this room.
We do.
Maybe we can do a little
jingle.
Why don't
we do a quick intro and then we'll do the jingle. All right. Okay. So I, of course, like people know me. I am Cody Melcher.
I'm Ranjit Sowry.
Hi, Ranjit.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Yes. I'm filled with holiday spirit.
I am too. Yes. And so are our guests.
Yes. Miss Kristen Clifford.
Hello.
And Miss Alexandra Sarpalas.
Hello, listening audience.
Ooh, well, I like that. Someone's been listening to NPR. All right.
Yes.
Okay. So
Alexandra's actually just going to interview the three of us for this episode.
That'd
it's going
nice.
To be
like
a
it.
Very serious interview.
Absolutely.
I like it. I like it. All right, so this jingle we're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be four-part harmony. I don't know. No one knew this was happening, so it has to have the word Christmas. Or is it holiday or Christmas?
Let's say holiday. Let's not exclude people, even though what we're reading
today is... Let's make
a
Kwanzaa. How about a Kwanzaa spectacular?
I feel like we're entering a territory we don't want to enter.
Okay, holiday spectacular.
All right.
So,
it has to include the words holiday spectacular.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing it at once at the same time?
Yes.
Or what's happening?
We'll just sing the word holiday spectacular, and like if you want to say anything else short, that in there, do.
We could do like a barbershop quartet.
So you guys ready? Let's tune. Okay. So
all right. I don't have a pitch pipe.
No, it's okay. We don't have to all be in the same game. Okay. One, two, three, go.
Holiday spectacular.
I had to throw a little 70s or something in there at the end.
Really precious.
All right.
He made it really sexy, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of children born in September of next year.
I got a
to listeners of this podcast.
I'm glad you did the math that quickly. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not even done. I'm not even sure if that's right. I'm not going to double check you.
No,
I'm just going to. I believe in you. Just like I believe in the baby Jesus born on December 25th or March.
Either one.
Kristen was shaking her head like, oh, no, Cody.
Also, just like you believe in the baby Kwanzaa.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And his half-brother, Ramadan.
Yeah.
Whole family in there.
Well, there's New Year's. I mean,
baby New Year's, yes. But what about Uncle Hanukkah?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. There's not a Hanukkah baby.
Why is Uncle Hanukkah such a distant relative and an adult?
Nobody talks about Uncle Hanukkah.
No one talks about Uncle Hanukkah. Plus, it's because he doesn't have really good gifts. Like he just shows up, he complains a lot, and then he just kind of does nothing.
Does he have a bunch of days? Does he have a bunch of days?
Yeah, he stays longer than you think he's going to. Like he always comes into town and then he stays at your apartment for a while, but
eight
he stays way longer because he suddenly realizes that he feels a lot younger in this city than he thought he would.
Mm.
And then he just hangs out way too long and then you have to kick him out eventually.
I mean, over a week, that's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uncle Hanukkah.
After day three, you're
I know.
Like,
yeah. You only think you're he's going to stay the night, but then he ends up having enough energy to stay for 8 days.
Yep. You're secretly mouthing behind his back. You
it's
know.
Just, ugh.
That guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm schwitzing just thinking about it.
Yeah.
For the people that have not read the title, because we keep having to update those people, for the non-reading out there, first of all, why are you listening to this podcast if you don't read? Second of all, we are, of course, talking today about Hans Christian Andersen's The Fir Tree.
He wrote this in 1845. And,
I knew I should look directly at you because I was like, I'm sure Runjit's got some pertinent information about Hans Christian Andersen.
A fact. That was it. That was my fact.
No, that was a good one.
I'm
that
done.
That was good. That was good.
You three,
did
the rest
you know,
of it's yours.
Did you know that he is suspected to be a homosexual?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
one for my team.
Well, it's also like he never quite found love in his life ever.
Well,
like,
have you read what he's written about?
Lasting love.
Right. It's not surprising considering everything he wrote.
Yeah.
It's depressing as hell.
That's true.
Right. Very true.
Very true.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that this podcast is already starting out more depressed than the one about gay people being involved in the Nazi party. Like, we thought that was going to be the depressing podcast.
No, this is
already like,
your
ugh.
Holiday spectacular.
Yeah,
really?
Holiday
spectacular. Yeah.
More like holiday sad-tacular.
Oh.
Mm.
Nicely played.
Holiday spectacular.
I could have done a lot better.
His plays on words are cheering me up.
Holiday spec sadular.
There you go. All right, so ladies, what do you normally like to read outside of this? Outside of the fir tree, I know you read it quite often.
Yes, I read it daily now.
You read it daily
for the holiday season.
It's like
season.
Your morning prayer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is, and morning with a U.
So sad. Yeah.
Missed that tree.
Morning prayer. So Alexander, what do you read outside?
I read all sorts of things. I like mysteries a lot. And right now I'm not reading a mystery.
Like what
at
kind
all.
Of mysteries?
Pretty much anything, mostly Agatha Christie though.
I was about to ask.
Yeah,
okay,
I have
nice.
Like a
what's your favorite
session. Ooh, oh God, that's really hard. Anything with Miss Marple, really. Yeah, I read a lot of lately I've been reading fiction. For a while I was on a nonfiction bent and then I got sick of it. And now I'm reading The Marriage Plot by Jeffrey Eugenides.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw you reading that the other day.
Yes. Yeah. It's great. I love it.
Kristen, what are you reading other than The Fir Tree?
The Fir Tree, whenever I feel like I'm getting too happy, I read that.
Yeah, you got to keep it down. Yeah. You got to keep it down.
Like, oh, things have been going too well. I also like to read mysteries. Probably Alexander, I do like Miss Marple as well, but mm-hmm. I haven't read one in a while. But
see, I'm more of a Poirot guy.
Enjoy, I guess, they're called cozies. They're probably really written for like 55-year-old women, but I read them. particularly paranormal cozies.
Okay,
it.
So when you say a cozy.
Cozy is like a genre of mystery, and they're like small paperbacks. And
oh, my mom reads those. Yeah. Kinds of, I didn't know that was a genre. I thought that was
me
just
neither.
Like, I thought that was like schlock mystery.
Yeah. I mean,
but they call them cozy.
They call them cozy. So, like, lots of times there's a hook too. So it'll be like, it's a mystery, but they also are at a winery. And like so,
you should do pitches for them.
So they'll be
that
like,
brilliant.
They'll be like, like some of them have recipes because like the main character is always like something. So they'll be like, make the donuts that the main character made while she was solving the mystery.
I have never heard of these books.
They sound amazing. They we need to read them stat.
Are my favorite. But I read like everything. I'm always like I like take pictures of books I want to read. So like then I go and get them out of the library.
Me too.
But
wait, a minute, what do you mean you can't
like if you're
get them out of the library?
No, get them out of the library.
No, they take pictures of them at stores.
Yeah.
So you can go to the library.
I thought you said that I can't get from the library.
Oh, no,
I was like,
no.
Is there some history between you and the library that
yes.
we need to know about?
I actually have a few overdue books right now that
girl.
Are sitting in
yeah,
my bag.
Yeah, you've got a bag of library books.
I know, I gotta go drop them off.
No, but I'll read pretty much anything. I'll read, like, almost any book. I read all the time.
Yes, you're a very fast reader.
I'm a very fast reader as well, so I probably read, like, 3 books a week.
Wow. I wish I had that kind of time.
I don't. I'm a fast reader.
I read, like, 3 pages before I go to bed.
Oh.
Because, like, I just, like, fall asleep.
Kristen reads during commercials on TV. I love that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's
girl, you crazy.
A power reader.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of, yeah. It's been helpful in my standardized test taking career. I will say that.
I'll say that much as, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that's pretty, right now I tried to go to the library today and it was closed.
So
and it was really sad. But I'm reading a.
Hey, so I was right. She can't check books out of
the
library.
Yeah, well, I could have if I had been there at the correct time when it opened.
Well, yeah.
but I'm reading a Janet Ivanovich book.
Oh, my mom reads those.
Yeah, see, so your mom is probably a 50-something lady, so she and I have the same taste in books.
I cannot speak to that. As far as I understand, she's in her late 30s.
In her late 30s, yes. So we probably have the same taste in literature, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
That's cool. A good point.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And then we all have the same taste in literature in the fir tree.
Yes.
That was a segue.
I liked that.
Nice.
Thanks. Runjit, do you have any information about the fir tree?
Well, the fir tree is kind of seen as related to his views, Hans Christian Andersen's kind of views on life at the time. As we mentioned earlier, that he never really found love. Do you know any more about that? He had a lot of unrequited love.
Right, yeah. He used to write, he was a lot like me. He used to write a lot of letters to people, and nothing ever really came of it. I think there was a girl, or it might be misremembering a guy. It was either a guy or a girl, and they wrote back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then that person ended up moving on to somebody else or dying.
Oh.
Typical for that era. Like, it's, mm-hmm. That's why it's getting all jumbled up in my head, because it's so stereotypical that it's almost like, I think I'm just getting it confused with every other person from that era.
Yeah. And also
stereotyped lives, right?
Also, when he died, they found a letter like in his pocket that was from like 40 years earlier of a girl when he was young telling him she was not interested.
Oh,
he kept that letter in his pocket.
I imagine that is going to be how I will be found dead. It's just going to be like a small box just filled with letters that I printed off from Facebook. Of people saying, please stop talking to me.
Aww.
This is not happening.
Oh, that's sad.
But
don't woo me.
But, you know, the good thing is, because usually when you hear stories like this, usually the other part of the equation is he was poor and unappreciated, and then like 100 years after he died, people realized what a genius he was. That was not the case with Hans Christian Andersen.
True. He was very popular.
Very famous. Popular.
I mean, that was actually one of the arguments for why people thought he was gay, was that there were several like wealthy people who tried to marry their daughters off to him, and it never happened. All right. So other than depressing, how did you ladies like the book or the story?
Rambling. It was rambling and depressing. Didn't love it. Not going to lie. Felt like there was not.
There was. I mean, like
a story arc.
Okay, well, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to have that.
It's a holiday story. They don't really have arcs. I mean, the Night Before Christmas is just, like, about things showing up.
Yeah. Kristen? I thought the fir tree was kind of a wiener, basically.
Well, he is a tree. Like, it's not like he's got a lot of ethos to work with.
And it's just like, man, every day was a pity party, but he still had all these friends. And I was like, I don't understand.
And he took him for granted. He
took everything for granted and then would realize that he had taken it for granted. But it was always too late.
But, like, didn't Hans Christian Andersen, or I'm going to call him HCA, talk about, like, how this was supposed to be a story about, like, of purpose? Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be joyous in its Germanness.
Yeah, I guess I'm not German enough. I'm a quarter German.
I'm half German.
So yeah. I guess I'm not German enough.
I'm just German enough.
Like a tree had served its purpose, and so happiness in that. But he didn't find happiness.
He found happiness through duty. And it's maybe like, and it was his fault for not finding the happiness in it.
Okay.
Because like he was the tree for the people, and then he was the tree for the mice, mm-hmm. and he provided them the joy, and then he was chopped up and burned to death. And so the moral of the story is, before you get chopped up and burned to death, maybe you should enjoy your life. Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, then again, it's the same country that Nietzsche comes from. So what are we talking about?
Yeah. I mean, like reading it, that's kind of what I think. I was like, man, I've got to stop whining.
Yeah. I feel you.
So, yeah, like, you could take that away as a reader, I guess, for sure. It was very macabre as well at the end.
I know.
Yeah, this tree, I mean, in case people haven't read this.
If you haven't, it's free online, seriously.
And it's like five pages.
Right, get your life together. Take a moment. You're already taking enough time to listen to this podcast. Yes. Just go read it so that you know what we're talking about. You don't have to sit there and try to piece it together like some sort of weird episode of Monk.
Take 5 minutes, people.
It's short. It's short, actually.
It's very online for free. We're not asking you to do anything but click the link that is included in the episode. Just do it.
I feel like Sally Struthers should be asking people to read. Yeah. She should be having a tear. 5 minutes. Read this book.
It actually might help her cause, because it's like, so much futility. I'd be like, oh, here's all my money, Sally.
I'm just trying to think of all the people that are my age that have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Aww.
I'm pretty sure that most people in my generation don't know.
Probably don't know. No. That's true.
You could go to VCR repair.
That's true. So anyway, this tree is growing in this nature, you know, really kind of idyllic, natural, mm-hmm. pastoral setting, right? And but this tree hates its life.
Yeah.
Right?
As trees do.
Yeah. It just thinks all the other trees are taller. They have more fun, you know. This rabbit keeps jumping over him, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So he's got to be a really short tree.
Well, I think it's just a bitch-ass rabbit.
Well, they did say hair, which I guess a hair is,
they're taller.
It's like a jackalope without the antlers.
Year three, it couldn't anymore.
Right. Yeah. I don't think so.
So I think it was just small. And then
he's humiliated by his hair always jumping over him. That's kind of an interesting image, though, that this hair is always jumping over the same tree. That's kind of weird, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, as we learned from Tortoise and the Hare, hares have a tendency to just be dicks, like, a lot. Yeah. So,
like, especially once the hare realized that this humiliated the tree.
Right.
It's like, screw this, I'm doing this every day.
Yeah. It's a bad rap, though, the hare. I'm just saying, like, he was just doing his thing, and the tree is interpreting it one way.
So do you think that there should be, like, a second story that's from the hare's perspective?
Yes, absolutely.
About, like, how the hare was just trying to, like, make the, like, harden the tree for life.
Yeah.
Like the like fathers who think that, like, being, like, emotionally abusive to their children is supposed to, like, make them
a boy named harder. Sue.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it is.
So I guess that's the rabbit story as a boy named Sue.
Yes. Yeah. A Shel Silverstein poem as sung by Johnny Cash.
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes. And speaking of parents, the tree didn't have any parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's interesting. And also,
do trees have parents?
Well,
technically.
It wanted to marry the beech tree
that
also lived in the forest, or birch. So I was like, the tree could star on its own Disney sitcom.
Yeah, that's
none
true.
Of those children have or parents either. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of them do.
David Henry could play the tree.
Yeah. Yes,
and it's like the new icon.
Selena Gomez could play the birch tree.
It'd be very good. But yeah, I thought I was like, so do trees fall in love? Because they sort of made it seem like they did, but then where did he come from?
So then he wants to be a Christmas tree, right?
Right.
So because he sees he hears about Christmas trees. It's like, oh, you get to be in a warm, awesome, like, house with all prettied up. It said all decked out. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All decked out.
All decked out.
I think it might depend on the translation, because I don't know if mine said decked out.
Yeah, that's what mine said.
Deck
I was like,
them.
Wow.
Mine said it too. Deck them halls. Yeah.
I was like, oh, that phrase is not as new as I thought. I thought I was hip by saying that I was decked out.
Mm.
Not so hip. It was hip in 1861.
Yeah, it makes sense, because when was Deck the Halls written? Deck the Halls.
Yeah, everybody. When was Deck the Halls written?
Wait, don we now our gay apparel.
La 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 la.
Is the ancient you are not
something something
Yuletide Carol.
La 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 la.
Beautiful.
Oh my god. So I was trying to see if it said decked out, and I found this passage, which is the most depressing thing in the world. Maybe I was meant to take this glorious path, rejoiced the fir tree. That's even better than going across the sea. What an agony of longing. If only it were Christmas. Now I'm as tall and broad as the others that were carried off last year. Oh, if only I were on that wagon right now. If only I were in the warm parlor with all that splendor and glory. And then, ? Well, then something even better is bound to happen. Something even more wonderful. Or why would they decorate me like that? Something even grander, even more glorious is bound to happen. But what? Oh, how I'm suffering. Oh, how I yearn. I just don't know what's come over me.
The tree became Woody Allen.
Take, yeah. Oh, suffering. Uncle Hanukkah, what are you doing here? Take pleasure in us, said the air and sunlight. Take pleasure in your fresh youth out in the open. But the fir tree felt no pleasure at all.
Oh, sad.
Side note, super glad that the tree didn't become a ship, because, Lord, that would have been a longer story. And, like, more upsetting as it kvetched about being on the ocean all the time.
And another side note, in that speech that Cody just read, the tree actually began as Orson Welles, ended as Woody Allen.
Oh, so how that's
pretty good. Pretty cool thing to pull off.
Maybe I was meant to take this glorious path.
I felt really bad when the tree was like, oh, they're going to replant me. I'm like, they cut you down. They didn't dig up your roots.
Look, he's a tree, not a biologist. Oh. Like, he doesn't understand.
It hurts so much.
He doesn't understand.
This made me feel guilty. Dendrology.
Huh?
Just like Queen Amidala, the tree was young and naive.
Oh, so sad. I seriously felt guilty about having Christmas trees now. Because
you have
this.
Live Christmas trees?
No, I mean, I've had them in the past. I don't this year, thanks to the fir
They're not
tree.
Allowed in my building.
Oh, I could. My landlady was actually very, my landlady, who's German, actually.
Oh,
was
did very, she say, you must have a Tannenbaum?
No, but she was like, did you decorate?
Oh, I'm like, Tannenbaum.
Well, no, but I put up some garland and some lights. And she's like, oh, that's nice. You didn't put up a tree.
Guilting that's sad.
Me. And I was like, I just read this story. I can't.
I feel like hidden inside of her question was like, do you have a boyfriend? You're going to be all alone.
No. It was definitely tree related for sure. Okay. Because she'll work that in other places.
I'm just reading into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. She's more upfront about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and it upsets me because I work at the hat store and across the street is a children's playground that has now turned into a tree farm for some reason. Because screw the kids, right?
Yeah. They don't need
space. Fun and joy.
No.
And so there's a tree lot. And so I just look at it every night and I'm like, well, I can't have one of those.
Aww.
So I don't even have the space for it if I wanted one.
I have a small tree, but I didn't put it up.
I have a fake tree that's like about 4 inches tall that plugs into a USB.
Oh my god, that's nice.
My little tree I decorate with all manatee ornaments.
Oh yeah, your mana tree.
It's my mana tree.
Oh nice. My favorite ornament that I have is called Chief. I bought it in North Texas.
Mm.
And the name of it is Chief. That was the name of the ornament. It is a Native American merman.
Oh.
Oh,
well,
I was going to say
Christmas tree ornament.
North Texas and just calling it cheap already sounds a little racist.
Yeah, no, he is a merman with a Native American headdress.
What is that even supposed to be? Like, who made that?
But
is it just a mistake where they were like making little mermaid ornaments and Native American ornaments in the same factory and they were like, oopsie doodle?
I can only imagine. But it's like for a while it was the only ornament I had on my Christmas tree. It was just a Native American merman.
That's beautiful.
Nothing else.
Never lose that.
Yeah, never lose faith. Chief.
The Little Mermaid, actually, another Hans Christian Andersen.
That is true.
Real depressing, also.
Yeah, the actual ending for The Little Mermaid is, doesn't she like die? She's
it's
like,
all
dies.
Bummery.
She just like, flat out dies.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the Wikipedia entry for Hans Christian Andersen it says like all these stories are basically really depressing.
Including
and
Auntie
one of them
Toothache,
is The Little Mermaid.
Which I need to read.
Which one?
Auntie Toothache.
I need to read that too.
Or Auntie Toothache.
Is she with Uncle Annika?
Probably.
They got a divorce.
Okay.
Auntie Toothache.
Yeah. He couldn't take all of the kvetching.
Oy.
So this is the scene when the fir tree is a Christmas tree and let's see, after all the presents and stuff happens, this fat little man comes in the room.
Oh yeah,
right?
I forgot about the family.
And the kids are all like, "Hey, tell us a story." We don't know who this guy is, but
hey, fat little man, tell us a story.
Fat little man, tell us a story.
That's what he does.
And here's what he says: "I shall only relate one story. What shall it be? Ivity Ovity or Humpty Dumpty?" Ivity Ovity or Humpty Dumpty? And then Ivity Ovity cried some. Humpty Dumpty cried others. Blah blah blah. It just struck me like he will only tell them one story, and one of them is Humpty Dumpty, which is like 4 lines long.
Yeah, right. It's not even a story. Maybe he does an elaborate Humpty Dumpty. Maybe we in the modern day have like the Cliff Notes Humpty Dumpty.
We do, because they mentioned that the Humpty Dumpty gets a princess even though he got broken.
Not included in my mother goose stories.
Yeah, in their story, they're like, the king's men tried to put them together, and then they say all the methods. They're like, craft glue. soldering.
Soldering.
surgical sutures. And then like eventually they get to the like, what worked. Blacksmithery. They call Johnny Tremaine.
Johnny Tremaine. All right. We got deep cut in here.
Did they just in the end duct tape him? Is that what happened then?
I don't think they have duct tape in 1860.
No, they did.
Duct tape.
Yep.
I think it was just made of duck liver.
Yeah.
Duck paste.
They put his brain inside of a new egg. Because is Humpty Dumpty actually supposed to be an egg, or is that just in the children's
presentation? No, that's us. We made him an egg.
We turned him into an egg.
I read up a little bit about
who's
Humpty Dumpty. Guys.
Yeah, who's us in this scenario? Men, Indian people, modern day people. What are we talking about here?
Indian Americans.
Okay.
Indian Americans made
Humpty
Dumpty.
Made him an egg. What kind of agenda was that playing into?
Well, if I told you, then I would defeat
if I told you, it
our
would be
secret
surprised.
Agenda.
Yeah, all right, touche.
So, but I did some reading up on Humpty Dumpty, and originally, Humpty Dumpty had two meanings. One, it meant a like fat, clumsy person.
Of course.
That makes sense, right?
Sure. Right.
But it also meant a bottle of a specific type of liquor. And so Humpty Dumpty was actually a joke, like a play on words. Like, you would think, as this little thing was being told, that it was a fat, clumsy guy falling off a thing. But the reveal was, it was actually a bottle of liquor.
Oh.
It was like the double meaning pun joke.
Oh. Wow. But I don't.
Or I thought it like a drunk guy.
But that doesn't even, that's what I was thinking. That doesn't even still make sense, though.
No.
Like, it's not even, like, it's clever-ish, but like, it doesn't make sense in the end of it. It's just, oh, congratulations, you found two words that match.
I just.
Like, at least past the Ducci on the left-hand side, like, is like a pot that means pot. Like, that at least means something once you find out what the reveal is. The reveal of Humpty Dumpty is, oh, so a bottle.
A bottle falls off the wall.
Right, so a bottle of liquor falls off the wall, and everybody gets upset about it and tries to put it back together.
And then he's a princess somehow.
And then the bottle of liquor.
He fell down the stairs. So where did this wall come in? Like, I don't know.
The other story besides Humpty Dumpty, Ivide Ovide.
Yeah, what is that?
I invite you all to guess what it means.
The
Ivide Ovide.
It's the Easter Bunny. Peter Cottontail.
No.
Ivide Ovide, Easter is on its way.
Cinderella.
Oh, that's pretty good. But like no, that's not it.
Cinderella, no.
No.
It's about a girl that works at the Aveda Institute. And her name is Ivide.
I'm going to read you. This was a question and answer on Wiki Answers.
Okay.
Oh, so
I love
good,
the
right?
level of research you do into this. Like, man.
No all my sources begin with Wiki.
No
so.
Stone unturned.
This is why I dropped out of doctoral school. I went to doctoral school for a while and then dropped out.
That's why I would drop out as well.
Yeah.
I would have never started.
I used a lot of wikis in
such
my,
a rebel, Kristen.
My bibliographies. So this was the question. Who is the author of the book Ivide Ovide? And then here's the answer. There is no such book. Ivide Ovide is a nonsense rhyme.
Oh.
So it doesn't exist.
So you tricked us.
It doesn't. Well, Hans Christian Andersen tricked you.
Yeah.
But then you facilitated more treachery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So it's
how
just those two words.
So he made that up. Yeah,
oh.
He just made that up as the story as a story that didn't exist. Well, I was super excited because I was like, I'm gonna find out what this Ivide Ovide thing is. I bet it's a really interesting thing.
Well, maybe. Well, but okay. But here's the thing though. Hans Christian Andersen is responsible for all of our fairy tales, basically. Like not all of them, but most of them. But him and the Grimms. So. Could he have just, like, inceptioned it?
Oh, it's going to happen later on?
Like, yeah, because he created all of our other fairy tales. So he created a fairy tale inside of a fairy tale.
Perhaps he died before he could write Ivide Ovide.
I'll write Ivide Ovide. Because, like, who's going to come after me for the trademark for those two nonsense words in one of his stories?
Well, and also the trademark would be passed anyway.
But then, if I wrote it, everyone who, like, runs it, who looks up Ivide Ovide, will be like, oh, this story by Kristen Clifford. And then
all three people will totally come across that.
Stop it. It's going to be six.
Hans Christian Clifford.
Yeah. Hans Christian Clifford.
Hans Christian Clifford.
Hans Christian Clifford.
Make a new Wikipedia page. Don't worry.
You can do it. I believe in you.
I'm going to write like 4 paragraphs and come be like, this is my Ivide and publish it just so I can get a wiki.
People can click it.
Anyone who's reading about Hans Christian Andersen, maybe
they'll
click over there.
All six
on the
people.
Related links.
How long would it take me to legally change my name, do you think?
Does it include Hans in front of it?
Hans Christian Andersen.
change my first name to Hans, and Christian's just my middle name.
Hans Christian Clifford. You could just have a nom de plume. Really cut through the middle man in this situation.
I want to do this right.
Okay. Well, best way to start is at the beginning. So.
Stage name. We're like, well, this is the artist formerly known as Christian Clifford.
Hans Christian Clifford.
and then later on, when you have like a nervous breakdown over Ivide Ovide, you can change your name to some sort of symbol that looks like a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh yes, or a fir tree. In every set, I'm or just a fir like tree. Hans Christian Clifford out.
You'll have to make sure to sue anyone who uses the term "ivide avide," yeah. which happens in any form so frequently. Online. Yeah,
you can go form. Back and listen to this podcast and sue all of us for saying it,
right? And the Aveda Institute.
Too close.
Ivide avide. Too close. On its way.
Oh, that's funny.
This story had the first hecklers in it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Who were the first hecklers? Yeah.
Yeah, they yeah, were. Because, they're jerks.
So after the tree gets used, the family throws him up in this attic.
Yeah.
And their house is apparently
monstrous.
Infested yeah. with mice and rats.
Well, yes. They were German.
Yeah, I guess.
Of some kind.
Yeah, yeah. So
Germanic.
German people definitely, they're...
Okay.
This side of the room.
All,
hey,
all are infested with rats.
The fatherland's great.
So these mice and rats are listening to the tree's stories. He's just telling them Humpty Dumpty. That's the only one he knows. And here's what the rats do. They're like, that's not very good. Don't you have any stories about bacon?
Yeah. They were.
I'm not making that up. That's literally
somebody
what they
yelled
said.
At me at a show last night. That's not very good. You got any jokes about bacon?
Stupid rats.
Yeah, if you guys ever heckle hecklers. Me, please say that.
I want to hear stories about bacon. Next time you're on stage, I will heckle the hell out of you.
You got any stories about bacon?
That's not very good. Do you have any jokes about bacon?
Okay, don't heckle Jim Gaffigan like that.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
He has a lot.
He'll do then 15 minutes about bacon.
True.
And then you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
Instead makes of him you hungry. Like an asshole. Makes him
I wish I knew what type of alcohol they were referring to with the Humpty Dumpty. Was it a bottle of gin? Like,
I
what was it?
I
rye whiskey?
Remember.
Ciroc.
Yeah. Hypnotic. It was actually hypnotic.
Yeah. X-rated.
It was F in vodka.
Goldschlager.
Delicious. Actually, that might have been it, actually.
Goldschlager?
Yeah.
Goldschlager?
Yeah.
It was a bottle of Rumplemans.
Yes.
Would you like this? It's 100 proof.
Goldschlager Rumplemans.
I have a little contest for you three.
Oh, good. I was hoping
you
had some.
Oh, my God. I love winning. Okay.
Is it to the death?
Got a contest.
If it is, I'm winning.
Sorry, guys.
I'll throw the cat at Kristen. And I'll take out
the that would be so mean.
No,
if it's to the death, I'm taking it. Let's do it.
I have a thing. This is the second time I've done this type of contest, so I think it's now becoming a thing that I do on this podcast.
It's a tradition.
Every few episodes.
And this holiday spectacular.
Mm.
It shall go throughout the ages.
So what it is... It's a sexy voice contest.
Oh, right? No.
All right.
Oh, no.
So here we go.
Luckily, I've got a sore throat, so I'll be even sexy.
No, I'm definitely winning.
I'm so awkward with right. sexy voices.
Oh, I'm sure
it's going to be great.
So here's the deal.
My phone voice is already inadvertently sexy.
You three are all going to be reading. This is a quote from the tree, and this is within the first paragraph of the story. And you're just going to read the whole quote. As sexy as possible. Okay.
Exciting.
So, Cody, are you ready to go first?
Yes, I am ready. Oh, how I wish I were as tall as the other trees. Then I would spread out my branches on every side, and my top would overlook the wide world. I should have the birds building their nests on my boughs. And when the wind blew, I should bow with stately dignity like my tall companions. All right, that was my guy.
Why does your sexy voice always sound like Orson Welles trying to be sexy?
Because that's how I pick up guys at bars. And what are you drinking there? The shadow knows.
What bar do you go to for that? I want
to
go there.
I go to my kitchen. I just constantly try to pick up my cat.
Aww,
he never
twerking.
Goes for it.
He loves you. Okay. Oh, how I wish I were as tall as the other trees. Then I would spread out my branches on every side, and my top would overlook the wide world. I should have the birds building their nests on my boughs, but when the wind blew, I should bow with stately dignity like my tall companions.
Ooh.
There you go.
I felt, that was. I mean this in the nicest way possible. It felt like Gidget Does Dallas. Or yeah. Something. Like,
yeah. It was very adorable.
There was like Annette Funicello hitting on a guy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
There was an undercurrent of like, I'm helpless.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what I was like, going for.
It's I really wanted to go like, whoa, Mrs. C.
It's supposed to be sort of like, endearing or like. Easy prey, basically.
You nailed it. You really went with the ethos
of the actual tree.
Yes. Victim.
All right.
Good luck, Kristen.
All right,
Clifford.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen. Kristen.
I really like winning.
Hans Christian Clifford.
You have to end it with Hans Christian Clifford.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
How I wish I were as tall as the other trees. Then I would spread out my branches on every side. And my top would overlook the wide world. I should have the birds building their nests on my boughs and when the wind blew. I should bow with stately dignity like my tall companions.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Julie Newmar. Julie Newmar.
Everybody, I'm going to be indisposed for the next few minutes. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Delightful.
Runja, you always have us do this, but I think you should take a shot at it.
Yeah, you better be reading that too.
It's hard for me to follow that.
I know, but you're going to have to.
Yeah, peer pressure.
Okay. Well, I have, in fact, never played this game myself.
You haven't. You made Dan and I do
it. I make everyone else play it.
Right, but now it's time. This is the holiday spectacular, Runja.
Okay.
It's time for the holidays.
Oh. How I wish I were as tall as the other trees.
Oh, boy.
Then I would spread out my branches on every side, and my top would overlook the wide world. I should have the birds building their nests on my boughs. And when the wind blew, I should bow with stately dignity like my tall companion.
Oh, well done.
Why I do declare. I want to say this for the audience at home. My favorite part about that was Runjit took a stance as if he was about to enter into a Wild West duel. Like, you buckled your knees a little bit, and then you kept your hands right by your pelvis like you were about to draw guns or gesture at it like a wrestler at any moment. It was impressive.
I did not even realize I did that, actually.
It added into it. Yeah. I think everybody won that round.
Yeah.
there was something to like from every single person. Yes. Oh, wow.
That was fun. That was a good choice on the passage.
I found that I could not stop laughing.
I know, it's
which
hard.
Is usually the case it's, when I'm actually I'm having sex too.
I'm glad that we could find joy in this, the darkest of times.
That's true.
Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh. The fir tree.
The poor fir tree.
So, spoiler alert, the fir tree dies.
Well, we already said
a horrible death. Yeah. A horrible, horrible death.
Yeah.
So he gets chopped up and burned.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least he served some sort of purpose at the end, I guess. I don't know.
So the tree dies. As all trees do, though. I mean, honestly, like, that is the circle of life, not to quote Elton John. But thank you for the dance moves, Kristen. Yeah, so I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, okay, so what's the takeaway from this then? Because it's Hans Christian Andersen. So there has to be a life lesson, right? There's supposed to be some sort of thing.
Well, I feel like they were some of the...
Can't just be depressing. That can't just be
the only
takeaway.
That's what they were saying with this. That he had a few stories that he started to sort of, like, unravel. And you just had some stories that were like, well, it's all futile. So that's it. It's not.
But then let's unpack that. We're a modern audience. Let's try and unpack that. Okay, because I mean, like Nietzsche, because like nihilism and Nietzsche isn't just shit sucks. It like there's a purpose for that argument. So sure. What? So what's the first? Especially because it's a Christmas story.
Yeah.
You know, like
I think
what's...
he just got plumb sick of Christmas, and he was famous, and he's like, I'm gonna write this sad little tune for everybody. Here you go.
Okay, but like, but let's English major this.
He was being a dick.
Yeah, that's what yeah. I'm saying.
Right, but let's
that's
English major this, and it's not even we're not even looking at author intent. Let's just look. Let's unpack it as ourselves.
Yeah. Like what sure. we can take out of
yeah, no
it.
Problem. Right.
Yeah, I definitely think like reading it, you can just be like, I always think you can create your own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And you should try and, you know, even if things aren't ideal, try and find what is good so that you can enjoy things.
Right.
Because, like, this is sort of the way I think. It's like, we're all going to die at some point, which sounds very, like, cynical, but it's like, you shouldn't, like, you know, only you have the power to change your own situation.
Right.
So mm-hmm. if you're unhappy, you only have so many years left, just start actively doing something to change it or find something that's good about it.
It's a very libertarian point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Silver linings.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's what I got yeah. out of this.
Well, and the tree itself actually did that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there was some point late in the story, like when he's being, you know, after he's a glorious Christmas tree and when he's discarded, where he's thinking about back when he was in nature and how he always used to be humiliated by the rabbit jumping over him. But now he's like, that was actually kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Like I had a rabbit coming over me every day, you know?
And his bird friends and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The sparrows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he almost got to the point of enjoying his life because he thought he was going to get decorated for a second day. And he was really looking forward to
it. Oh, that was really sad.
It was really sad. Which is actually really awful. Sad. But like maybe if he had been decorated again, he would have been like.
Well, then he tried to make the most out of it while he was like reminiscing with the mice and stuff. And then the rats shot him down.
Right.
He's like, well, this is dicks. So sad.
I know. It's like the story of just life. Like just when you're trying to piece it all together, yeah. Somebody shows up and snipes you. It's the story of the internet. I think Hans Christian Andersen wrote a proto story of the internet.
I'm sure he invented the
yeah,
internet.
Yeah, those rats
actually.
Are Twitter.
Hans Christian Andersen yes. Traveled into the future
yep.
and worked with Al Gore to invent the internet.
It's called Ibide Avide.
Oh! Oh!
The story of the internet.
Lawsuit.
If I get litigious,
Hans Christian Clifford's attorneys will be contacting you, Alexandra. You'll be getting a team
of attorneys.
Sue me for my bear phone.
Dedicated. I have my own bear phone, and I would like a second.
Sure, we need
a
friend.
I have no idea what's happening.
Well, I got a phone when I was about 4 or 5 from my grandfather. That's a stuffed bear that talks. Like, so when you put the person on speakerphone on it, and whoever you're talking to, the bear moves its mouth to what
like
the person's saying.
Phone.
Yeah, yes, and its eyes move, and it's wearing a dapper little vest. So I had one, and then Kristen and I were roommates for a few years. She found one on eBay or something like that, and so then we had 2 bear phones. It's amazing.
That sounds like the
That's
most frightening thing.
Amazing.
Possible.
Oh, it is.
The
it's
best
very
thing is
scary.
Talking to your dad on a bear phone.
Yeah.
Because my dad's voice coming out of a bear, I could not stop laughing. And he really thought I was on drugs of some kind. Because I was like, no, it's fine. Just keep talking.
It's so funny. Oh, I love it.
Sounds really frightening.
It is.
It's great.
We've got like 5 minutes of usable podcast.
Excellent.
Episodes.
I think it was 100%
we keep getting
usable.
Sidetracked.
And it's amazing. 100%
usable. Sidetracked because, like, well, that should just be the moral. Be like, this story is so sad. You'll want to think about anything else.
Yeah. And it is kind of rambling. Like, the story itself doesn't really.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I feel like that meanders. Was the ethos of that era.
Yeah, that's true.
Just rambling.
It's a 7-page story that could use some editing. That is our conclusion.
That's the moral
He's
of that
Hans
story.
He's Hans Christian Andersen. Damn it. He doesn't need an editor.
No.
He invented editing.
Apparently there were other stories that were very similar to this, and I was like, really, you're just gonna rip off this super sad
well,
story?
Well, yeah, the snowman.
Yeah, what?
The snowman, very similar to this.
Hans Christian Andersen's The Snowman.
Yes.
Could you tell us more about that? Could yes. you elucidate
John
that?
Carpenter is the snowman.
John Carpenter. The thing.
So the snowman by Hans Christian Andersen, basically same thing. It's a snowman who's like miserable being out in the cold. And, like, he wants it to be warm.
Oh.
And he gets his wish, and it doesn't end so well.
That's very similar to the story that I sent you guys that nobody else read. That's also called The Snowman. And I forget who wrote it, but it was a children's story. I found it in one way, and then I Solid was based on an actual, like, older story. And it's about a snowman who's just a dick to people. Like, he literally, like, a kid walks by, and he, like, so it's a snowman. It's the end of winter, but he's still cold. He's really cold, and he wants to get warm. And all he has, he's, like, missing an eye, and all he has is a stick.
Mm. Yeah.
And a kid walks by with, like, a scarf or something, and he's like, give me your scarf, or I'm going to beat you with my stick. And then the kid's like, okay, fine, because I don't want – and it repeats several times with different people. They always go, they preferred not to get beaten with a stick, so then they give it to him. And so he goes – like, he finds, like, a pirate and, like, forces the pirate to give him a hat that his wife had knitted him, or he's going to beat him with a stick. He threatens to beat an old woman with a stick unless she gives him her coat. And then he shows up at this guy's house, and he's like, let me into your house and put me in front of that fire. I'm going to beat you with my stick. And the guy's like, all right, fine. And then he brings him in and puts him in front of the fire. And then he's like, oh, here, I'll get you warmer, and pushes him closer to the fire and murders the snowman.
No.
And then all of the other people who had been following the snowman, like, after he mugged them, basically, they then followed him. Then they all come inside and celebrate the murdering of the snowman who was a dick and threatened to beat them. That is the children's story.
Kind of awesome.
Yeah, thug life forever.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean.
It was the story of Tupac Shakur.
Yeah. At least that dick snowman got his comeuppance.
Yeah, really. They took back the streets. It wasn't safe.
Yeah.
Got rid of them.
You know, I was about, because, like, that was my question. I was like, so is this snowman ambulatory? Because couldn't you just run away?
Yeah.
But I guess it could move.
He had
if
a magic
it's showing
hat.
Up at people's
That's
doors.
The real story of Frosty the Snowman.
Oh.
He's just a total dick.
Yeah. He's robbing people, mugging people, left and right.
Yeah, he was literally mugging people.
That would be a much better Frosty song,
yeah.
I think.
Bump it. It makes more sense with Bumpity Bump Bump. Beating people with sticks.
Was it
beating? Hit a giant wooden club, basically, that he threatened to beat people with.
From thereafter in that town, no one ever gave the snowman a club.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, that should be the moral of the story. Stop arming your snowman.
People only armed their snowman with mittens.
Hey, guys, let's give the snowman a Glock.
See
Don't,
what
he's just going to shoot you.
Don't. If you see a snowman on the CTA, move to another car.
Give me your hat, I'm going to pop a cap in your fucking ass. Shit.
If you see something, say something.
If John Carpenter did make a movie called The Snowman, flamethrowers, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There would be awesome
flamethrower
scenes.
That's a great point.
You could also, well, I mean, like, I think in modern day, you could also just lock the door.
That's true.
Like, if a snowman shows up at my house, he's like, I can beat you with a stick. I'll be like, I'll just close the door. How strong is the snowman? Because, yeah, he's ambulatory, but he's still made of snow.
Right. Well, I'd find my own damn club and take the snowman out. So,
you can have a club style lifesaver battle with the snowman.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, can he just knock its head off?
Yep,
I mean, I don't know.
Pretty easily. Done that before.
Is the head where the power is, though?
I don't know. But I'm willing to take
snowman.
Him out layer by layer.
It works for zombies, but does it work for snowmen?
I don't know.
We should totally create, like, a Walking Dead snowman show about, like, snowmen coming to life and threatening to beat people with sticks.
Well,
and we're like the last
in
survivors.
Hat.
Well, in
just
Frosty, but not in this guy.
Oh, that's true.
That's racist to assume that all snowmen have magical
hats. Well,
wow.
Hey.
Your true colors have shined through.
Yeah, I mean, that's I did tell everybody to avoid snowmen on the CTA.
Look,
so.
They've all got clubs and they all have magic hats,
all
right?
I'm pretty racist towards snowmen.
Next thing, Alexandra is going
to
refer
to
snowmen as you people.
Yeah. You're ruining this country, snowmen.
This one over here.
Snowmen are taking our jobs.
Yeah. I had to hear one more time about, like, snowmen and those jobs they were taking. And, like,
they
how she would never date a snowman.
No, God, no.
It didn't
matter. They're ruining the coal industry.
She would say stuff like, some of them are nice. And it was like, Jesus. Some of
them are nice. And you know what? Any snowman... I say, if you want to stay here, speak the language.
Right. I mean, and I could talk about this. Some of my best friends are snowmen. So yeah, make them.
One of my best friends married a snowman.
Oh, that shouldn't be legal.
Yeah, they're babies.
Although, I wouldn't be surprised if that became legal before gay marriage did in the state.
Probably.
Yeah, actually, I don't think even snowmen should be allowed to marry snowmen.
Yeah. So. But they can marry women or snow women. It's... It's Adam and Slush, not Adam and Mush.
He'll be here all week.
Tip your wait staff. Hey. Let's go around and let's talk about like a short sentence what you took away from the fir tree. Mm-hmm. Renjit?
I took away Great Depression, actually, from it.
Not the Great Depression.
I'm not even joking. Oh, it was really, really depressing because I was kind of depressed this week anyway, and this made it worse. So there you go.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I love it. Well, this is. I love that the Holiday Spectacular episode, out of everything that you and I have read, Runjit, is the thing that is really just knocking us on our on our backs. Just
Cody was like, "Hey, here's a Christmas themed story. Let's do this one."
So sad.
I know. How did this end up worse than the pink swastika? How?
Somehow it did.
All right, Kristen.
I did cry for half an hour after I read this. I took away, moral of the story is we're all going to die, so try and be happy, dummy.
I love it.
Did Red Fox narrate your takeaway?
he always does, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dummy.
Your turkey.
All right, Alex.
Your turkey.
My takeaway was that I started pondering, if people think animals have souls, do plants also have souls? And every time I eat broccoli, am I ruining the life of a broccoli family? Should I ever have a Christmas tree again? And I thought it was real sad. Real sad. Okay. That is it. That was where my mind
that was. That was a lot.
Yeah. That was a lot, but it was good. I liked it. A lot to take home for the audience to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And Cody?
My takeaway was, if at first you don't succeed, cry and cry again.
That's pretty similar. Dummy. Similar to beautiful. Mine.
Dummy.
You dummy.
Try it. Cry again.
You jive, turkey.
You turkey.
So dynamite.
Mayo.
That's a completely different show entirely. Yeah. Kristen, do you have any shows coming up or anything?
Sure. December 17th, I will be at Comedy Sports, and as well as New Year's Day.
In their holiday show?
New Year's Day marathon spectacular.
Fantastic.
And then
hopefully it won't be as depressing as ours was.
No promises.
No promises. Okay. And then January 25th and 26th, I'm featuring at Jokes and Notes.
Nice. Well done. Nice. Well done. All right.
I'll be there to watch that. I am also doing both of those holiday shows.
No way.
It's crazy. 100 it is crazy. Proof. Woo. So December 17th and New Year's Day. For their hangover marathon.
Yes.
And then I was trying to think of another show that I had. Come to the Stardust Showcase.
Woo!
Yay.
Can you more information about
it? Yes. It's the first Saturday of every month at the Underground Lounge.
Fantastic.
And it's a fun show with sparkle curtains.
Ooh.
Hey.
Light me some sparkle curtains. Yep. Are they made of vampire skin?
Yes, of course.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good. All right. So then let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'd like... when we end it, I would like for us to fade off into the night singing "O Tannenbaum."
Okay, I don't know. What are the lyrics?
It's just say "O Tannenbaum." It's "O Christmas Tree," but just it's "O Tannenbaum," and then it's in German. It's mm-hmm.
You can make up German gibberish.
Just make up German gibberish. Yeah. We're just gonna roll out. All right.
Okay. Now, here we go.
So I mean, this has been Tomfoolery. Say goodnight, Runjit.
Good night, Runjit.
And remember, I'm gonna start ending with this. And remember, pros before hoes. All right. One. Two, three.
Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, ich gleich wohl schlieg schaffen da. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, ich gleich wohl schlieg von Einstein. Gershoff,